This week, Morning Edition has been considering ways the United States might reduce its dependence on foreign oil. Roughly two-thirds of the oil consumed in the U.S. powers cars and trucks on the nation's roads. It's a fact that must be addressed in any discussion of energy security. But on the more distant horizon, a post-oil world is taking shape. It's a world of hydrogen-powered fuel cells, which could give the U.S. greater control of its energy future. NPR's John Idstey has the last story in a series on oil and the world market.
A world of fuel cells powering cars down the nation's highways used to exist only in the dreams of environmentalists and a few scientists and engineers. But that's changed in the past decade.
We happen to believe that fuel cells are the wave of the future.
That's President George W. Bush touting his energy plan, which includes funding for fuel cell research and rebates for fuel cell cars.
We think the fuel cell technology is quite an exciting technology.
This is Jed Davis, head of scenario planning for Shell Oil.
It offers zero emissions in cities. It's noiseless. It can accelerate quickly. It's a worthy successor to the internal combustion engine.
And here is General Motors CEO Rick Wagoner introducing GM's fuel cell concept car at this year's Detroit Auto Show.
This concept provides a vision of the coming hydrogen economy, a world of truly sustainable mobility in which vehicles are propelled largely by renewable energy sources, thus essentially removing the automobile from the environmental equation.
Fuel cells aren't a new technology. They've been providing heat and light on the space shuttle for more than two decades. But the auto companies have taken a close look at fuel cells in recent years. They've concluded the technology might just make consumers abandon their internal combustion automobiles.
Basically, what we're looking at right now is the Ford P2000 fuel cell vehicle.
Ford's P2000 is sitting in the driveway of a Washington, D.C. hotel. Anthony Eggert brought it here to show it off at a conference.
This was Ford's first attempt at taking a fuel cell and a fuel cell system and packaging it into a vehicle that could fit five passengers.
Well, so we can go for a ride.
Oh, yeah, let's go. Let's do it. Let's take a ride.
From the outside, this looks like a regular mid-size Ford sedan. Inside, it's pretty normal, too. But when you turn the key, things begin to sound and feel different.
So turn the key and wait about 10 seconds. It goes through a couple checks, and we're ready to go.
Got to be pretty careful in here.
That's about half throttle that we felt right there. It's got decent pickup. Another characteristic of electric drive is that you get your maximum torque at zero speed. And so you get really nice acceleration feel to the vehicle.
An electric motor propels this car, but it's not one of the hybrid cars you've heard about that also burn gasoline. In this car, hydrogen combines with oxygen in the car's fuel cell to produce the electricity that's needed to power it. And the amount of electricity generated is surprising. It's enough to support many more accessories than current cars have. And in addition to things like global positioning systems and DVD players for the kids in the back seat, this car could power your whole house.
Actually, you could easily get enough power to power your house. The standard average household electrical load is on the order of 2 kilowatts. The peak output of this stack is approximately 75 kilowatts. So in reality, you could actually possibly power your neighborhood.
You can't buy this vehicle today. You probably couldn't afford it. Because they're not mass-produced, fuel cells are still very expensive. And Anthony Eggert says it's likely to be at least 10 years before Ford could mass-produce this kind of vehicle. Toyota plans to offer a limited number of fuel cell-powered SUVs for sale in Japan by the end of next year. But the company believes that it will be nearly a decade before fuel cell vehicles could be produced cheaply enough to compete in price with internal combustion cars. With the major auto companies on board, Dan Sperling, director of the Institute of Transportation Studies at the University of California, Davis, says it's very likely fuel cell vehicles will eventually succeed the internal combustion engine.
The future of motor vehicles is eventually fuel cells and hydrogen. General Motors have said that, Ford, Toyota. The question is, how do you get from here to there?
There are no showstoppers in developing the vehicles themselves, says Sperling. The big obstacle to a rapid move to this new world is the hydrogen fuel. What happens when your fuel gauge says empty? Where do you fill it up? Eventually, hydrogen is likely to be centrally produced and piped around the country the way gasoline is today. But there's a chicken and egg problem here. What energy company is going to invest in such an expensive system if hydrogen-powered cars aren't widely available? On the other hand, what car company will mass-produce these vehicles if there's no refueling system in place? Sandy Thomas thinks he has the answer.
This is our existing laboratory. Here you can see the actual equipment that we use to make hydrogen.
In its small lab in Alexandria, Virginia, Thomas's company, H2Gen, is putting the finishing touches on a small hydrogen generator, a unit about 8 feet square and about 8 feet high. Natural gas and water flow in at the top, they're subjected to high temperatures, and hydrogen is produced. A venture capital firm partly owned by Shell Oil is one of the investors in this technology. Generating hydrogen this way does produce greenhouse gases, but the total emissions are only about half those produced by gasoline-powered cars per mile driven. Here's a key point for the energy security debate. Natural gas, the main input, is plentiful in North America. So moving to this system could eventually end U.S. dependence on Middle Eastern oil. Thomas says generators like this could produce hydrogen for about the same cost per mile as gasoline and easily be installed at gas stations around the country.
This unit would sit, you know, probably next to the building where they sell cookies and potato chips and so on. Then there'd be a pipe running underground to the actual fueling facility, which would be an island very similar to the gasoline pump. As a matter of fact, the consumer wouldn't notice the difference. It would be very similar to refilling a natural gas vehicle.
And, Thomas says, just as safe for consumers as pumping their own gas. Thomas says the cost of installing H2Gen's hydrogen generators at existing gas stations could be as low as $100,000 per unit. Skeptics think several hundred thousand dollars is more likely. These small hydrogen generators might help overcome the chicken and egg problem, but the success of fuel cell vehicles is not a sure thing. No one knows yet how consumers will respond to them. And, says Bob Rose of the U.S. Fuel Cell Council, the internal combustion engine has proved to be a tough competitor.
We've found in the case of oil that every time demand goes down, the price goes down, and so that's also a very tough fuel to compete with. And not just that, but the auto industry has a lot of technologies that it doesn't sell you, and it doesn't sell them to you because it doesn't believe that it's in its own interest to do so. So the fact that the technology exists is a different decision from the question of whether the industry will market it.
If car companies believe they can make greater profits from internal combustion engines over the next couple of decades, fuel cell vehicles are likely to languish. And even if the auto companies marketed them vigorously, Dan Sperling says it could take decades for fuel cells to supplant the internal combustion engine.
Vehicle turnover is slow. People keep their cars for quite a while. And so we're really talking 20 years, probably. 20 years before we're making a significant dent in the oil from the Middle East.
But Sperling and others believe a crash program, a sort of Manhattan Project for fuel cells and hydrogen, could dramatically accelerate the transition and make a significant contribution to energy independence in a decade or so. John Idstey, NPR News, Washington.